Mongolia, I want to bring a message, but I want to kind of work in the ministry in with a message that we have. Because if you read the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, we don't have to turn there. Let's turn there. Because I want you to read this in verse chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 24, after when he talks about assembling ourselves together in the church and meeting. Don't forsake that. He also says, in verse 24, he says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And I'm here as a visiting missionary. I want to bring a message tonight with our ministry to hopefully provoke you into doing good works and love. And I hope that I can do that with somebody tonight. I hope that I can follow in my dad's footsteps who did that. I am amazed at the churches I go to. Since we've been back here since December, that I meet so many people that said, "I was listening to your dad in a missions conference, and he inspired, God used him to make me become want to be a missionary." And I've been a missionary now for 20, 30 years, and we've seen thousands of people come to the Lord, and it's because of your dad provoking me into doing that by the way he spoke and how he talked about missions work in the Lord. And I hope I can do just a little bit of that. I hope when I get to where I can't do it anymore, I meet a lot of young people that I help persuade to go follow God and Christ and go to the mission field. And I'm not talking about going, you don't have to go to a foreign mission field. For some reason, we've assumed that missionaries go to foreign countries. America needs missionaries right here in this country. God just put me in a position where I can go to a foreign country. We need missionaries all over the world. Right here from Alabama all the way over to Mongolia, we need full-time missionaries and servants of the Lord. But if you can't be full-time, you can be a missionary to your family, your friends, your co-workers, people at the grocery store, everybody you meet. You can be a light and share the gospel with the way you speak to them. I have a really good way to do it. You have to have your door opener to witness to people. I have a really nice one. God really blessed me with one. Part of it's the way I talk. I always look at people and go, "I bet you wonder where I'm from." And then I get to share, I can break open and share the gospel with them. I can't pretend I'm from New York. We were in New York. Anybody here from New York? Nobody? Good. New Yorkers, for God, they say Gad. Gad. And my wife, we went up there and she said, "Who is this Gad guy everybody keeps talking about?" I had to translate and tell her it was God they were saying, but they say Gad up there. But my opening, and everybody can have one if you'll ask God to show it to you. Mine is, I'm married. My wife's name is Baljima. She's Mongolian, full-blooded Mongolian. I was single when I went to the mission field. My first wife died, and I met her on the field. I'd been single and unmarried for about 15 years. And was very happy unmarried. God gave me my beautiful wife when I asked for help. And the happiest day of my life next to being saved was when I met my wife. A very good woman. She's Mongolian. I have three Mongolian children. Two of them are not with us today. I have with us Bucky, my youngest son. And I always open the door when I walk in a store or in a restaurant or anywhere with my wife and family, people stare at me. They're always looking at me. And I'll go, "I bet you're wondering what I'm doing with all these Asian people, aren't you?" And then they go, "Yeah." And then I get to witness to them. Tell them I'm a missionary and give them a little testimony. And then everybody can do that. We can do that right here in Hartsville, Alabama, and you can do it all the way to China. But why would you not want to tell some people about somebody you love? That's what I had never figured out. Why is it hard to witness to somebody when you love that person you're talking about? See, if you love Christ and God, all of that stuff comes really easy. It's the same thing if I didn't tell anybody about my wife. What if I met you and never said I'm married or never told you about my wife? That would hurt her feelings, wouldn't it, if she found out about that? And I believe God feels the same way when we don't tell people about who we love and who died for us. So it should come easy. If it don't, pray about it and God will make it easy for you. Because when the Holy Spirit lives in you, that's what He can do through you. He can work through you through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show a little video. If I keep talking, I'll run out of time, and I don't want to do that. We have a video from Mongolia. We're missionaries to Thailand. My dad passed away December of 2020. And we've been, since he died, we were back here with him from Mongolia. My wife dad died a couple of months after that as well. So we had, he's a Mongolian pastor. He was our first pastor in Mongolia. And so we had a rough year as far as deaths in our family. But when you have Christ, he smooths all that stuff out real good for us. And so we're in really good shape. But we had to go to churches similar to yours that wanted to meet me and my wife because God has called us to continue to work. My dad passed away with dementia and heart failure at the age of 88. He's in heaven now, so I'm not sad. I'm actually jealous. But we'll be there soon enough, so we need to work while we're waiting. And he went to heaven with a smile on his face. He's always a happy man, and he's in heaven with the Lord. He's also up there with my wife's dad as well. And all the people went before him. Dad used to have this saying. He said, I need to hurry up and die because all my friends don't think I made it. So he's up there because he got so old. And he's in heaven now having a good time. I guarantee you he's doing a lot better than we are. I want to introduce the video, and then I'll show it and bring out some scripture with our work. The people in the video, I want to explain it to you. We made this in Mongolia before we left. I knew that Dad was not long for the world with the condition he was getting in. And I knew God spoke to my heart and told me we would have to go to visit churches when he passed because everybody knew Dad, but nobody knew me and my wife. Because we lived in Mongolia all those years, we actually live on the field. We've had to come back more here recently because of illnesses, death, COVID, my health. I've had cancer that we're over now, and I've had a heart attack in February and had stents put in. So when you get older, you have to go back and forth a lot more. But we still have a home in Mongolia. My son is living in that home, my Mongolian son. And he takes care of it while we're gone. He's 28 years old. His name's Ghana. And he works with us in Mongolia, as well as my nephew named Tingus. And those two young men are running the ministry while we're gone. They're doing a really good job because they're Mongolians, and they do a lot better at it than I do. The nationals do better than the visiting missionary because they know how to reach their people, and they know how to talk to them. So we're training more nationals to do that. But we made a video before we left and come over here to show to you where you can kind of get a little taste of Mongolia. We didn't do anything with Thailand because when we made this, when we came back, COVID was kicking in and borders were closing and we got out of there pretty quick and come over here and Dad passed and we've been on going to churches ever since. We've had meetings every Sunday since December. So I'm old and tired. I need to get back to Mongolia and rest a little bit where I can take a little break when I get over there for a few weeks and then get rested up. But we made this video. We made it out in the Gobi Desert. If you know where the Gobi's at, it's a big desert in between China and Russia and in Kazakhstan, or China, Mongolia, Kazakhstan, not Russia. And that's where God called my dad, and I followed in his footsteps, and I'm a missionary to the Gobi and to the city of Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. The ministry, we're going to show a little bit of the Gobi's got our church, our churches, our hospital that we have for nomads where we get to witness to them, feeding centers, some of the feeding centers, our pro-life centers that we're doing, and a couple of our churches. And I've got those in there, but what I want to say, the GUR, it's called a GUR if you look at our table. It's where Mongolians live outside the city. They live in, it's called a yurt, but Mongolians call it a gur. And they live in those things in the Gobi. So this Mongolian guy that made the video, we went to the Gobi Desert, about 50 kilometers outside of a village where we have a church and a feeding center. And we went into this yurt, and there was a lady and her camel breeder husband, or camel farmer, I don't know what cat, you don't call them a cattleman, they're camel breeders or herders, and they were out in the middle of the desert, out in the middle of nowhere, and my wife witnessed to the lady and said, have you ever been saved? Have you ever? Are you a Christian? She goes, yeah, which is unusual in Mongolia. Mongolians don't have a lot of Christians, very, very unusual. And my wife, she said, me and my two children are saved, but my husband's not a Christian. And we have Bible study every morning in our yurt. My wife said, where did you hear the gospel? Where did you know about the Lord? And she said, at that church in that village back there. So see, you have a hand in that. You support missions. You support our mission. Bible, Paul said and that when you give to missions and pray for us and people are saved, it goes to your account in heaven. So you're part of this. I want you to be excited about what you're doing with us in Mongolia. You'll see the yurt on here. We don't have the people in there. We asked after this little video was made. And the young lady singing in the video, she's one of our young pastor's wives. And the young man playing the instrument, we have him. He's one of our church members. We have him in a Bible school in Mongolia right now, going to Bible school with a missionary named Jason Ritchie, if you've ever heard of him. He went to Mongolia and planted a Bible college. It's not an institute, but it's a Bible college out of West Coast Bible School out in California. And that's an extension of that school. So we have five people in that school. So we have that video in here. We have our summer camp video part of it, which we have every year. And in that summer camp in Mongolia, we baptized over 2,000 people in 20 years through our ministry. Me and my wife didn't baptize that many, but we started that years ago, and it's grown from there with our Mongolian pastors and workers baptizing, doing all that stuff. So that's the video. It's about 3 or 4 minutes long, if y'all can play that. Do it. You want me to give you the thumb drive? You want me to sing? There it is.
I am Mitch Tillman with Harbor Evangelism, and we're standing today in the middle of the Gobi Desert. My father started this ministry over 30 years ago, right here in the Gobi Desert where I'm standing today.
This is Baljima Tillman. I'm from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. I'm standing from front of our orphanage. So we have 34 babies from 0 to 5. Our orphanage was founded in 2004, so we adopted internationally and locally about 200 children.
Ich schiehe
Thank you very much. If you got your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. We all know Nehemiah. Even if you grew up in church, Sunday school, always talked about Nehemiah, and church preachers got a lot of great sermons in the book of Nehemiah. We all know what he did. He went back to Jerusalem and built the walls and temple, organized the city. He did a lot in a short amount of time, but then he was all fired up. I mean, if you study the book of Nehemiah, he just had a heart to go back there, to go back and do what he did. And all the stuff that needed done, it points out to this guy as being instrumental in all of that stuff, but what made him do it? What made him go do what he did? The same way sometimes I think about my dad, Tommy Tillman. Or I think about, I meet all kind of people traveling around in this country and world. I meet men and women that give up everything and go to downtown Atlanta and start a church in the inner cities. I know people that give up everything and go to New York City and serve inner city people and be attempted murder on them, threatened, houses broke into. And give up everything and go do that kind of stuff. Like Nehemiah gave up everything to do that. If you read in chapter 1, if you go over to the last verse in chapter 1, he says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. He gave up a very prestigious job as the king's cupbearer, the taster of the food and the cupbearer, to go do what he did in Jerusalem. What possesses somebody to do that? What would possess my dad to go to Thailand and serve with lepers? Y'all heard the story of Dad. Hey, he went over there and was a missionary to lepers and all the people that hands and feet are rotted off. And I went over there with him, met a lot of those people. And it's not as bad as it used to be. They've got a cure for it now. We still have that ministry and running that ministry, but it wasn't like when Dad went there. We got a few lepers. We have 12 lepers in our leper home, but they're with the medicine they got now, it's not as bad. They have medicine for it, and it stops it from spreading. And we get our folks now over there just may have a toe missing or a finger missing. But when I went with Dad, their whole face would be missing. Rotted off from leprosy, and they'd be drooling, would be coming out of where they didn't have lips and their mouths wouldn't shut. It was just terrible. What would possess a guy to quit everything he's got and go do that? Give up everything for that and care for those people. And I pray about it a lot, and I've thought about it a lot. And we all are saved. If you're in this room today and you've been saved, you possess the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit empowers you, but something moves you. There's something that moves you. And I believe that it's found in the book of Nehemiah. If you turn over there to the first chapter of Nehemiah, we're not going to read all of this because we are on a time schedule. And I'm down to about, I'm going to say about maybe 10 minutes. I'm going to see if I can get it all said in that amount of time. And I might do it quicker than that. I got the wrong notes with me. You ever do that? I got the baseball score up here on this one. I'm just teasing. I just picked it up in the wrong part of my Bible. If you're a traveling preacher, you got four or five sermons in your Bible, and you sometimes you grab up the wrong one. So that was what I did. But let's look in Nehemiah. We're not going to go through there. He was in the palace, if you know Nehemiah, and he asked some people coming there, "What's going on in Jerusalem? What's happening around there?" And let's go straight to verse 4 because of time. And he says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." When he heard about Jerusalem, it broke his heart at what was going on there. Something happened in that guy. Something happened in Nehemiah where he had compassion for Jerusalem. And it's compassion. It's when you hear or see something, it moves, and it don't happen to everybody. It just happens to certain people. Because if you go over to the book of Jude, it says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Of some, not all. Everybody don't have compassion. We actually live in a society now, if you watch TV and when you have a cell phone, and most of us, and I'm not preaching against that, most of us are glued to those things. They become part of our lives, especially younger people. Old guy like me, take it and throw it in a lake somewhere and go, "I'm through with that." Because we grew up without them. And we can live without them. But there's young people that have never lived without a computer. And it's just part of an intricate part of their life. And if you sit and watch that stuff, it makes you hate other people. It makes you not like people. Makes you mad at people. And it takes away our compassion. And that's the devil is set out to do that. That's what he does. There's a thing going around now if you live in this country that if you watch the news, they make you think everybody in the world hates us. That if you go to a foreign country, everybody hates Americans when you go there. That's not true. That's just, do you think the devil don't want us to be defeated? He don't want us to be downtrodden and heartbroken? That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to think that. I've actually been in churches where people have said, "I don't want to give to foreign missions. They hate us anyway. We need to just help our country." Well, see, we need to help everybody. We don't just need to help our country. We need to help our country, China, Mexico, Israel, all over the world, there's people that need the gospel. They need Christ. They need our compassion. I want to explain, and this is what I think motivated my dad. I knew my dad. Knew him very well, and I knew what moved my dad. It's the same thing that moved some of the heroes of the Bible. I want to say what compassion is first. Its definition of compassion is a sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. That's what compassion is. I remember when I went to Mongolia with Dad. I was a new Christian. I loved the Lord. I love the Lord more now than I did back then. But God took that time in my life, and He said, if He had came to me now at my age, I might have said, "Oh, I don't feel like going over there." You know, but when I was 47, I was on fire, buddy. I was physically able to go, and I wanted to go. And what moved me with my dad when I went with him was we went to the Gobi Desert, and we went out through there in those yurts. We would stop at yurts and go in, and we'd give people a Bible and a Coke. Mongolians used to love Coca-Colas. So we'd take a whole little family of a Coke each, and we'd witness to them, give them a Bible, and I met just person after person that had never heard the name of Jesus. Never heard the name of Jesus. I couldn't believe that. I said, we live in a world where you can fly around the world in a day. You can be over here in a day and just get in a car right out here, and there's people here that's never heard Jesus. And that moved me with compassion, just like I know it did my dad when he went there. It was the same thing that touched his heart. And then we started with that compassion. We started children's churches. A little girl that I met had never heard the name of Jesus. She broke my heart sitting there telling me she'd never heard of Jesus. And I looked at that girl and I thought, that little girl right there is going to grow up without Christ and die and go to hell. I just envisioned her in hell. My eyes did when I looked at her, my heart. And it broke my heart to see that young lady and think about her and all the other ones there that don't know Christ and don't have the hope of knowing Him. So when we did that, when me and my wife started working here with my dad, we started an orphanage to help homeless children. There were a lot of homeless children there in that time. Started feeding centers. We went out to the city landfill and started a feeding center there where we feed 50 children a day that live inside the dump, that live in the city dump and eat the food from the dump, and their parents have left them. And Move with Compassion made us do that. When you go into a dump and you see a child in there, four or five of them, and they live under cardboard boxes, under snow, and it's 40 below zero. And you just, God just used that in us to do something about it. And we were able to help 50 children at a time, financially and prayerfully. We have a church there now for youth, and it's been going on now for almost 20 years, and we've seen child after child. Many of them don't receive Christ, but a lot of them receive Christ and are born again and saved. We even have some of them that are serving in our church that grew up in our feeding center there. And God used us to do that, but we did that because of compassion. Compassion did it. Moved with compassion. If you read Bible verses, Jesus had compassion on them in Matthew 20:34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. Jesus was full of compassion, and we're to be like Christ. I remember when I first went to Mongolia, alcoholism, 80% amongst Mongolian men. 80%. So we were able to start some rescue missions. We have two rescue missions now that we're involved with. And over the years that we've been doing that, we've seen men after men come to Christ that gave up alcoholism, turned to Christ, and God used that compassion for those guys to do that. We saw so many people that have not received Christ, didn't know Christ. God used us to plant five churches, and we're in the middle of a church plant right now. With my nephew and my son, Tingus and Ghana, are working in that through an English school we started. We started an English school. Y'all believe I used to teach English in Mongolia? And I told my wife, I said, that's how we planted a couple of our churches, was through English school. We would teach English and witness to people, and they'd be saved. We'd meet with them on Sundays, and we grew churches out of some of those English schools. But the problem with that, when I would teach English, they had a Southern accent. So I told my wife, I said, one day National Geographic, if the Lord don't come, are going to ride up out here in the middle of the Gobi, and they're going to say, folks, today we're with an English Southern-speaking tribe in Mongolia. And they'll drive up, and the old Mongolian come out and go, how y'all doing? You know, when they come out in Mongolia. But now my son and my nephew's teaching it. They speak Mongolian, English, and Chinese. Three languages my son and nephew speak. So God's going to use those guys in a big way. But that all started with compassion. I'm telling you, compassion is what motivates us and moves us. You have to have compassion to do anything. Even in this country, somehow the devil has got us where we've lost our compassion. The world has divided us by race, by region, by culture. The devil's divided us where we're angry at other people. See, we need compassion. And I believe with all my heart it was not just the Holy Spirit that moved Harper Evangelism and my dad to start working with lepers. But it was the same thing that moved God when He sent His only Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is full of compassion. And that's what motivates us, or should motivate us. Now I'm going to close today. We got a lot going on. I could stand up here in Mongolia and talk for hours about our new pro-life center work that we do. We have five pro-life centers, and all of them have Mongolian counselors, sonogram machines. We have 5 to 20 to 30 women every day come in each one of those centers that we're able to witness to. We had a church over in North Carolina give us enough money to buy another building when we get back and start our 6th pro-life center. Everything that we do in Harbor Evangelism is geared towards getting the gospel to people. Everything, our feeding centers, our pro-life centers, our rescue mission, we have church stuff where we go out and visit and give out tracts and witness and Bibles. Everything we do is to get the gospel to people in Mongolia that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And it all started with compassion and a broken heart. So I want to ask you a question, and I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor today. It's good to be here with you today, and I pray that God will continue to get you to work with us. You're invited to come to Thailand or Mongolia. You ever go on mission trips, Pastor? Y'all ever have a mission trip? Well, we have an apartment you can stay in just for visitors. It sleeps 10 people. You're welcome to come and stay. It's free. You can come and stay there, and I'll even feed you when you come. Unless you eat a whole lot, then I'll ask you to pitch in on that. But we'll feed you and give you a place to stay. I'd love to have you visit and see if God will move you with compassion to come and work with us in Thailand or Mongolia. We'll take good care of you. I'm going to close with a question. I'm going to give it back to the pastor. What breaks your heart? Is there anybody in this room that something breaks your heart? Anything. Just think about that. What breaks your heart? What do you feel with compassion about in this room today? What would move you to do something here locally or far away? And if there's anything in here that moves you, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do anything about it? Or just continue just to think about it? But God wants us to move on those things and get something done. Because there's people in this city and this state right here too that's dying and going to hell every day. Now we can't save them, but we can let them know about Christ. We can do it through our life and through the way that we talk and our speech and sharing the gospel with them. So I appreciate it and thank you for having us today.